Okay, it's 10 a.m. This is Chairman Mariner. I will call the roll to confirm that we have a quorum. Vice Chair Hatch?
Here.
Commissioner Boozer?
Here.
Commissioner Doge?
Here.
Commissioner Fager?
Here.
Commissioner Stakem?
Here.
Commissioner Williams? Well, we have a quorum, so I'll call the meeting to order. And the first item is the approval of the agenda. You have before you, can I get a motion to approve, please?
Commissioner Doge, so moved.
I moved and seconded. All in favor, Vice Chair Hatch?
You're not coming through very loud.
Did you hear me?
Vice Chair Hatch, yes? Okay, thank you.
Approval.
Commissioner Boozer?
Not very, you're not very loud.
Turn your volume up. So Vernon, say yes. Commissioner Doge?
Approved.
Commissioner Fager?
Approved.
Commissioner Stakem?
Approved.
Okay, we'll go on to the minutes of the open session for February 25th. You all have had the opportunity to review it. Are there any changes or corrections that need to be made? Hearing none, can I get a motion to approve, please?
Commissioner Doge, sir.
Moved and seconded. All in favor, Vice Chair Hatch?
Approved.
Commissioner Boozer?
Approved.
Commissioner Doge?
Approved.
Commissioner Fager?
Approved.
Commissioner Stakem?
Approved.
And Commissioner Williams, are you on? Okay, we'll go to the consent agenda. The first item are the new instant ticket games, number 535, $3 board game bonus. Number 536, a $5 find the nines. Number 537, a $5 deluxe crossword sixth edition. Number two, EGD games and component testing, certified lab software, hardware, game certifications, VLTs, table game components, and instant bingo machines from 2/10/21 to 3/11/21. Number three are the consent agreements, regulatory violations, Ocean Downs from December of 2020 and Rocky Gap from December of 2020. Number four, consent agreements, underage violations, Horseshoe Casino, case number 2020-0502. Number five are gaming license application denials and revocations. Number six are the Horseshoe VLT reduction implementation extension. And number seven are the staff reports. James Nielsen, Deputy Director, Chief Operating Officer. John Martin, Managing Director, Chief Revenue Officer. Jim Logue, Managing Director, Gaming. Leo Momorski, Managing Director, Chief Marketing Officer. Paul Yoakum, Managing Director, Acting Chief Financial Officer. Carol Gentry, Managing Director, Communications. James Butler, Managing Director, Organizational Compliance. And Holly Sitko, Principal Counsel of the Office of the Attorney General. Does anyone care to pull one of these items out for discussion? Hearing none, can I get a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Commissioner Doge, so moved.
Mr. Stakem, second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor, Chair Hatch, Vice Chair Hatch?
Approve.
Commissioner Boozer?
Approve.
Commissioner Doge?
Approved.
Commissioner Fager?
Approve.
And Commissioner Stakem?
Approve.
Okay. Now we'll go to the operator reports. We'll start with Matt Highschool with Hollywood.
Good morning. So February revenues at Hollywood were down a little over 5%. Slot revenues were down about 5%, while table revenues were down, actually down 10%. It could have been a little worse since the volume story wasn't great, with slot volumes down 6% and table volumes down actually 18%. So we were helped a little by hold in February as well. Now is, of course, when I will whine about the weather. I think we had six or so days where snow and ice really just hurt business and customers didn't come. So in the grand scheme of things, I think we actually fared relatively well given those challenges. The good news is that March is a completely different story. So next month will be the first month where we report year-over-year numbers versus the shutdown last year. So I will plan on reporting versus 2019 going forward for a little bit. But versus 2019 so far, we are off to an outstanding start with significant growth, particularly in slots. Table volumes have remained a bit of a concern, but the signs of general health in the business are pretty exciting to see, particularly with regards to slot volumes versus 2019. We are working with Cecil County right now on an effort to become a mobile vaccine location that services the county. It's early in the process, but we have the space to do it in our lot, and assuming we can work out all the details, I'd be thrilled to be able to help that effort for the county and the state with the added bonus of potentially giving our own employees easy access to vaccination too. Finally, we continue to work hand-in-hand with Penn National on the transition and ownership. They've been great partners so far in figuring this out, and Aaron Chamberlain and members of our team visited the property again this Monday as we continue to work through the myriad of things that go into a change of control like this, but all in all, it's been smooth so far, and we are making great progress. And with that, I'll take any questions.
Well, hearing none. Thanks, Matt. Let's go to Bobby Sample with Ocean Downs.
Good morning. So our revenues were also down very slightly to last year, 2.8% in total. Slots was down about 5.5%, and that was largely volume driven. Our hold was fairly consistent. Tables, however, were up 17.6%. That was both driven by volume and by hold. So thankfully, we were not as impacted by the weather as most of the most, if not all of the other properties were. We got far more rain and far less snow. So I am grateful for that. And we did have a very good turnout for our Breaking Hearts $5,000 cash giveaway at the end of the month in February. But we were able to manage the crowds and keep everyone distant, but still have a very good feel in the building. So that was a very positive end to the month. March has been trending well, as Matt mentioned. You know, the comparable to 2020 obviously is excellent. So we will be looking at that versus 2019, and we are also seeing very positive trends in comparison that I'll talk more about next month. We are hitting Problem Gambling Awareness Month with our team members. We have some fun activities for them that we've been doing all month long, with some prizes and rewards for participating in it. So that's been going very well. And all of the Churchill Downs properties are doing different activities for their team members to make sure that it is front of mind. And this month we have participated in the, typically Worcester goes purple, but for February it was Worcester goes green. For the Worcester County Warriors Against Addiction, we've been selling Shamrocks on their behalf, and we have sold over 1,000. We're pretty pleased with that effort, but we are making a big push before the end of the month to try and sell more of those Shamrocks for a very worthy cause. And with that, I'll take any questions.
Well, hearing none, thank you, Bobby. Let's go to Bob Tedesco, please, with Live.
Good morning, everybody. February recap, our total revenue for the month was $49.2 million. We were down about 20.6% year over year. $45.2 million in gaming revenue, which was a 16% decline, and $4 million in non-gaming, which is a 50% decline year over year. Slots, we did $32 million, which was down 15% year over year. And then tables and poker, $13 million. And we were down about 18%, just over 18% year over year. While we're seeing increases in headcount currently, the property continues to focus on COVID safety protocols and social distancing guidelines. In February, Live did start to add back some of its marketing calendars, sending some tiered gaming offers out and some invite onlys for some smaller events. We had a high-end Tiffany giveaway. We had a free slot point bonus day. We had an earn and get for some of the lower tiers. We also had a virtual celebration for the Lunar New Year in February, and a candy giveaway, stage candy giveaway for Valentine's Day, as well as capping off the month with a box tournament at the end of the month. Our community participation continues to be valuable for the property and a big focus. We donated $10,000 to the Washington Minority Association locally. We continue to offer all of our event space to the Anne Arundel County Health Department for vaccination clinic, which they're vaccinating large groups of people on a daily basis very efficiently and effectively. We hosted a virtual meeting for Black Heroes honoring 11 local leaders in February, and we did free meals for the Lunar New Year for all of our team members. Our March numbers are looking really, really good when you look year over year. We've got nice higher volumes. Our weekends are very, very busy, and we're absolutely paying attention to our social distancing and our COVID safety protocols even more so with the higher numbers. April, we're excited about. We have our sports and social restaurant in the center of the casino, which will be opened up. We expect construction to be done midway through the month, and we're excited at some point to get regulations for the FanDuel sports betting, which will be right inside of the sports and social. And with that, I'll take any questions.
Well, thanks, Bob.
Have a great day.
Let's go to Skylar Dykes with Rocky Gap.
Good morning. Well, in February, we showed a 17.7% decrease year over year in combination of slots and tables, primarily in slots. Obviously, losing the fifth Saturday of the month on their leap year from last year, which is the perfect February, that hurts. And I'm not going to complain about the worst winter I've seen in 8 years I've lived here, but it was pretty brutal. Definitely affected the volumes, but we're very happy with the volume that we saw on the non-weather affected weekends. We had several kiosk-based promotions to provide a socially distanced Valentine gift set. It was very well executed by our marketing team. Our guests are very happy with both the measures put in place to ensure their safety and the social distancing provided. First great sign of spring is officially here. We opened the golf course a few weeks ago, and we've been very pleased with our volume in the casino in the first few weeks of March since Governor Hogan lifted the occupancy restrictions. And since the spread of the vaccinations in the surrounding areas, we're starting to see a lot more of our older guests who we have not seen consistently throughout the casino since reopening. So that's been very encouraging to see. And slot volume has been very strong throughout the month of March so far, and we're continuing to monitor table game volume, as that's the one area where we still struggle to provide enough social distancing outside of the original occupancy constraints we had in place. Obviously, the comparisons are going to be skewed from last year's closure in March, but we're optimistic about the prospects for the spring and summer months. And as Matt alluded to earlier, we're going to continue to provide 2019 comparisons for the next few months until we get back into an actual year-over-year comparison. With that, I will take any questions.
Well, hearing none, thank you, Skylar. Let's go
thank
to Randy
you.
Conroy with Horseshoe.
Good morning, Chairman. Good morning, Commissioners. Horseshoe reported $9.6 million in slot revenue in February, and that was off 15% year-on-year. Table games, $4.7 million, down 29%. So put it all together, and we were around that 20% reduction year-on-year. Obviously, some weather impacts. We also have the additional nuance of some Baltimore City restrictions where we were at 25% occupancy restriction. That actually has gone all the way through March and will be lifted up to 50% beginning tomorrow. So we're quite excited about that. That's been an issue for us the past four weekends. So not quite at 100% like some others in the state, but we're happy to get up to that 50% level. We also had some easing of other COVID-related restrictions in February, which is very encouraging. As far as marketing, we're still quite cautious, honestly, and haven't pulled the trigger on a lot of different things to incentivize folks to come in. Really, we're in this phase where I have to remind my team every day that we have to stay on top of our COVID protocols. And it's easy to get away from it with cases going down, vaccines, et cetera, but it's something that we just keep top of mind. From a community standpoint, March, end of February, beginning of March was a big book drive month for us. We support the Mary Rodman Elementary School in Baltimore City, and it's part of our commitment to the 100% project, which is getting a bunch of underserved Baltimore City children in the college. One of the last things to report, my company took an approach where we really encourage vaccination. So as more and more of our team members are eligible throughout the different phases and will be in the future, we've provided an incentive of 4,000 total return credits. And those are credits that team members can go on like an Amazon type website and purchase items. So 4,000 credits would buy you, say, $100 worth of value. Could be a gift card, could be whatever. But it's, you know, it's something we think is important, and we want to strongly encourage our team members, not require, but strongly encourage our team members to take advantage of the vaccines as they roll out. As many have noted, March has been an improving story, and we're excited to see what this weekend brings with the expanded occupancy allowed in the building. With that, I'll take questions.
Well, thank you, Randy. Let's go to Jorge Perez with MGM, please.
Good morning, everyone. Not unlike the rest of the group here, MGM National Harbor too experienced year-over-year declines. We were down about 17% in GGR, but we were slightly ahead of January despite the three less weekend days. It was our best GGR month since November, and we were constrained not only with the weather impacts that you've heard this morning, but we too were at the 25% capacity limit, both in the casino and F&B. Tables were down 17.5% year over year, slots down 15%. And poker, we made a decision just because of the limited capacity to shut down additional tables. So poker revenues were down about 37% for the month year over year. The good news was in March 12th, Prince George's County did authorize us to increase capacity, both in F&B and casino, from 25 to 50. And that was just in time, you know, to accommodate what we're clearly seeing in increased customer demand. As others have indicated this morning, March will be a very, very good month for us, and should be the best month since the property reopened. From a health and safety standpoint, we still, you know, remain prudent there. The trends are steady. So, you know, our safety committee continues to monitor trends. The number of incidents, you know, including mask enforcement, social distancing, walkouts, and trespasses, that all remains stable and has been for several months. And then MGM Corp recently announced that we did a partnership with Clorox for disinfecting wipes and hand sanitizers. So you'll start seeing that on our floor in the coming months. So that's a company-wide partnership with Clorox. From an ops perspective, continue to have a relatively light promotional calendar, especially Lunar New Year. You know, we have a high propensity of Asian gaming here, and this year was very subdued compared to what we've done in the past. You know, we also continue to limit the facility during peak surge days to MI customers. Pretty much every weekend when we were at the 25% capacity, we were having to shut the garage down and truly limit capacity within the building. And then also our construction on our outdoor gaming smoking patio is progressing well. We're expecting to open that sometime in April. And then lastly, from a philanthropic standpoint and in support of the Black History Month, we partnered with Flintstone Elementary School for the school's reading program by reading African-American, you know, books about African-American icons, civil rights history, and important trailblazers to students in first through fifth grades. So that concludes my report, and I'll take any questions if there are any.
Well, thank you, Jorge.
Thank you.
We'll now move to the vendor reports. We'll start with Steve Smith with Scientific Games.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. And a slight departure from our usual no news is good news routine. I think we do have quite a bit of good news this month. We finished up Walmart installation. That's about 47 locations, additional retail locations in the state. We're also most of the way through the debit implementation of debit readers at all the self-service machines in Maryland. That's going very well, and sales have picked up a bit with those. Fast Play continues to be a winner. Depending on what week, we're first, second, or third in the country, and launched at 20 last week, I think. So with that, probably this week we'll be first or second. And self-service in general is just doing great. We've had as high as around 11,000. We're probably around 10,000 right now, and putting more of those in every week as well. So just a lot going on, and all of it good. The sorter's doing very well, handling the instant volume, and we're very pleased with that. So just positive all around right now, and we hope we can continue to do that, and I'll take any questions.
Great. Well, Steve, thanks for the good news.
You're welcome, sir.
Let's go to Matt Isaac with Pollard.
Good morning. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to present to you this morning. It's always great to present when things are going really well, and this quarter's knocking it out of the park. So as I like to do, I like to talk about instant sales and comparing it to jurisdictions around you that compare favorably to Maryland and demographics and sales and population, all that good stuff. So Maryland right now is up 14.1% in instant sales. That shows a pretty aggressive trajectory up compared to last quarter when it was 11%. So that 3% in just a quarter of growth is pretty strong. And recent week sales have been showing that increase. Last week was 57% over 2020, and more importantly, it was 35% over 2019. So that's going in the right direction pretty fast. Other states or other jurisdictions, DC is currently down 21.3% for the year. New York is down 0.3%. Connecticut is up 9.1%. New Jersey is up 6.5%. Virginia is up 8.3%. So all the states that we have data for that we usually compare, Maryland is outpacing by quite a bit. And we look forward to the next quarter going up about another 3 or 4%. Contract-wise, we've worked on about 19 games this quarter. Most of those are going to be for games in the next quarter that are going to be filling the dispensers to help increase those sales. If there's no other questions, or if there are no questions, that's all I had for you today.
Great. Well, thanks, Matt. Let's go to Jerry Jerwinski, please, with IGT.
Good morning. Operationally, all's well with us. We continue our work day to day with the casinos and staff. We're still following all the COVID distancing protocols in the data center and preparing for our annual SOC audit. One item of note, you may have heard about the winter storms in Austin. While they affected some locations at IGT, Maryland was not negatively affected. However, we took proactive measures to ensure that the systems remained in sync and in a good state. So I just wanted to let you know that. And that's all I have to report.
Well, we like good news here. So
me too.
All right, Gordon, it's your turn.
Well, good morning, Mr. Chairman, commissioners. And as you've been hearing all morning, I'm happy to report that business is booming. Lottery is still on a record pace. Much like you heard from some of the casinos, February was actually a bit of an anomaly. And if you looked at the dashboard that you received in your package, you see the profits were actually down 3.5%. Nevertheless, we've more than recovered in March, and the year-over-year comparisons are beginning to be almost non-comparable because of the severe declines we saw a year ago with COVID. Nevertheless, excuse me, for year-to-date, lottery sales are up 17.2%. Lottery profits are up 18%. Interestingly, the Bureau of Revenue Estimates for the state of Maryland has raised our forecast once again, this time to $666 million for the year. This is now the second time they've raised it. When the year began, the forecast was for $634, which in and of itself, was $605, which in and of itself was going to be a record number. In December, they raised that to 634, and now most recently, they've raised it to 666. And given our results, which represent two-thirds of the year at about 445, we think we probably have a good potential to meet that BRE number of 666, which, of course, will be an all-time record by a huge amount. And just to consolidate what you heard from the casinos already, again, the year-over-year comparisons over the next few months are going to be somewhat meaningless. Nevertheless, year-to-date, revenue's only down 3.7%, and contributions are only down 3%. Obviously, those numbers will probably approach positive territory. And as you heard from the casinos, probably more meaningful comparisons will be to the prior year, 2019. So we'll look forward to those. Nevertheless, I'm sure the big news for all of us, and certainly for you, is the activity going on in the legislature. And unfortunately, it's not all positive for us. Our advertising budget has been cut 10 to 15%. We don't know the exact number yet. It's either 2 or 3 million, depending on whether the Senate version or the House version prevails. We really didn't get a good explanation for that, other than they wanted to bring our advertising budget in line with previous years. I hope they don't want our profit picture to be in line with previous years. Those kinds of reductions will in fact cost the state, we think, on the range of 10 to 15 million in lost profitability. More importantly though, is what's going on with sports betting. There is a current bill, House Bill 940, is very complex. One of the concerns we have is the amount of time that it will add to the process to implement sports betting in Maryland. For example, currently in the bill, there are a total of 23 locations for bricks and mortar or retail sports betting. Keep in mind that most of sports betting will occur online through mobile devices. The experience from other states suggests that about 85%, maybe even 90% of total sports betting will occur online. So the locations for bricks and mortar are going to be fighting over that 10 or 15% potential that we see there. The 23 include the 6 casinos, 3 horse tracks, 3 sports arenas, 1 riverboat, and 10 Class B licenses to be decided in a competitive process. For online, and these are untethered or unconnected to any specific bricks and mortar locations, the number has now gone up to 15 for the online potential licenses also to be awarded in a competitive process. Also, the bill creates a new commission separate from this commission that will be the Sports Wagering Application Review Commission, otherwise known as SWARC. SWARC will be established. They will select a consultant to determine their selection criteria and then manage the process of competitive bids for the Class B and online licenses. We have a Senate hearing today that we'll be prepared to answer questions for. There are many what might seem like technical aspects of the bill that we have an opinion on. For example, things like the refundability of application fees. Right now, application fees vary from $50,000 for a bricks and mortar location to $500,000 for an online location, with a similar amount to be paid again over the next 5 years of the license. If fees are refundable, we think we will get a plethora of applications in all these categories. To be decided is whether or not we will have to do our background criminal checks and financial viability reviews before the selections are made for the winners of the two categories of licenses that will be bid competitively. Based on last year with Senate Bill 4, which was a very clean, simple, straightforward bill, we thought we could get sports betting probably up and running by the fall, and maybe in time for even the NFL season. And certainly we had been working on our regulatory requirements. I think we're up to about 150 pages of those. But this new bill, frankly, changes everything fairly dramatically. And right now, we think it'd be optimistic to have full sports betting available to all of these potential parties It's probably cost us another 12 months, so we're looking at maybe fall of 2022 now before we see full implementation. With that, we will, you know, continue to advise as best we can to the policymakers, and hope that you know, this all moves forward with great haste. And with that, happy to take any questions.
I have a couple. What is the makeup of the SWORC, you called it, Commission?
Yeah, the the SWORC, Chairman Mariner, you are also the chairman of the SWORC. It will have a total of 7 members, two to be appointed by the governor, 2 by the Senate, and 2 by the House. Considering that you would be considered a gubernatorial appointment, we would have 3 from the governor and 4 from the legislature.
Okay. And as far as our advertising budget, you know, as a former advertising professional, it makes me crazy how, you know, they keep raising the expectation level, but handcuff our ability to get there. So I'd be happy to testify at any point with any legislative body to tell them why that's a really bad idea.
I appreciate that. Obviously, we have made those arguments for years and years and have been successful in getting our ad budget back up to the level it was back in 2010, which was about $20 million back then. Then it went through a series of very severe cuts, cut about 40% in the earlier part of the decade. And so it's a disappointment. This is the first time we've seen a cut in many years. But I appreciate the support, absolutely.
All right, well, thank you, Gordon. All right, Mr. Mooney, you're up.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and commissioners. You have my monthly report. Are there any questions on the monthly report before I get into the action item?
I don't believe so, but so you can say what the action item is, and then I have something I need to read.
Yes, you do. We're here for manufacturer's renewal for CAMEA Limited.
Okay. So, as Chair, we will conduct a hearing on the application of CAMEA Limited for a renewal of its manufacturer license, and this is how we will proceed. I will collectively administer the oath to anyone who may testify or answer questions. Then Mr. Mooney will describe the results of the staff's investigation. Anyone who is on the call for this hearing on behalf of CAMEA Limited may speak. The commission may ask questions of staff or a CAMEA Limited representative. I will ask for a motion to renew the manufacturer's license. So now I will collectively administer the oath to all individuals who may testify or answer questions. This will be for agency staff who worked on the background investigation and any representative of CAMEA Limited who is called in today for this hearing. Everyone who will take the oath, now state your name before I administer the oath, starting with our agency staff, then CAMEA Limited.
Mark Mooney.
Bill Metz.
Linda Willis.
Anthony Singleton.
Anyone from CAMEA Limited on the call? Hearing none, do each of you solemnly swear or affirm under the penalties of perjury that any statements you will make in this matter will be the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
John Mooney, I
do. Bill Metz, I do.
Linda Willis, I do.
Anthony Singleton, I do.
Okay, Mr. Mooney, would you please describe the results of the staff investigation?
Yes, sir. We are conducting a hearing on the manufacturer's renewal license application submitted by CAMEA Limited. The Maryland Lottery and Gaming Control Agency is required by the gaming law to conduct an investigation to determine if CAMEA Limited is qualified to be awarded a manufacturer's license. CAMEA was notified on March 12th of the hearing. You, the commissioners, have been provided with the complete investigative report on Can Be Limited. You have also received a copy of the public report that was in your packets and made available to everyone on the agency website. I will summarize the reports that have been given to you. Can Be Limited was last approved for a manufacturer's license by the commission on June 23rd, 2016. Can Be Limited has maintained its manufacturer's license in good standing and has not been subject to any disciplinary sanctions by the commission. Can Be Limited was formed in April of 1999 by Mr. Frank Can Be and is incorporated as a private limited company with the Register of Companies for England and Wales. Can Be manufactures and sells a variety of gaming products, but specializes in roulette wheels and billboard displays. Can Be Limited's offices are located at Old Sunderton Manor Road, Betherden, Ashford, Kent, England. Currently, the company is licensed to conduct business internationally in Canada, Greece, Panama, the Republic of the Philippines, and Spain. In the United States, Can Be has been granted gaming license by state regulatory authorities in Massachusetts, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Washington, and by 12 tribal gaming commissions. Can Be Limited is owned by the Can Be family. The company is owned 50% by Mr. Richard Can Be and 25% each by Mr. Andrew Can Be and Mrs. Barbara Can Be. Richard Can Be and Andrew Can Be serve as the company's directors. Each of the above mentioned Can Be family members has filed a principal employee renewal application with the Maryland Lottery and Gaming Control Agency. We performed detailed analysis of Can Be's limited operating performance and financial condition for the fiscal years ending July 31st, 2016 through 2020. And we offer the following comments. Can Be Limited was found to have financial stability, integrity, and responsibility. There were no material issues involving the known financial backers. Can Be Limited possesses the requisite good character, honesty, and integrity. Can Be Limited has sufficient business ability and experience. There were no potential disqualifying factors. We identified the following national person qualifiers who were associated with the applicant. We conducted an extensive due diligence investigation on each qualifier as described in our full report. We found that the principals have satisfied the applicable qualifications criteria under the gaming law. They are Mr. Richard William Can Be, Director, Barbara Grace Can Be, Administration, Andrew Paul Can Be, Director. Our investigation has confirmed that the applicant has sufficient financial resources and found no derogatory information regarding the applicant's qualifications. Based on the criteria in the gaming law, we conclude that the applicant and its principals have established by clear and convincing evidence their qualifications required for the renewal of their manufacturer's license. Staff recommends approval of the renewal.
Thank you, Mr. Mooney. Since there is no one on the call from Can Be, does anyone on the commission have any questions for the staff? Hearing none, can I get a motion to find that Can Be Limited has established by clear and convincing evidence its qualifications under the gaming law for renewal of its manufacturer license?
Commissioner.
Okay, made and seconded. All in favor, Vice Chair Hash?
Approve.
Commissioner Boozer?
Approve.
Commissioner Dosh?
Approved.
Commissioner Fager?
Approved.
Commissioner Stakem?
Approve.
Okay, approved.
Hold on. Commissioner Williams is on as well, and I approve.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, sir. So it's you have a full house. Anything else, Mr. Mooney?
No, just say thank you to staff for conducting the investigation and doing a great job. Thank you.
Great, as always. Thank you all. Okay, our next meeting will be Thursday, April the 22nd at 10 a.m. And hearing nothing else, we stand adjourned.
Thank you, Randy.
Thank you all.
Thank you.